Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Today, the Prime Minister joined senior political leaders in Brussels to announce the final Brexit agreement reached between her government and the European Union. The deal was approved by the heads of government of the 27 other member states, but it now faces an uncertain future before the House of Commons. Andrew Marr interviewed the Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt about the difficulties ahead.
Is it possible the government simply collapses?
It's not possible to rule out anything. And that's why all of us, what we have to do...
The government is possible at this stage.
What all of us have to do is to say, what do our constituents actually want in this situation? And we have to work out what's in the national interest. And it's all about the balance of risks, because this isn't a perfect deal for everyone, but it does have a lot of what everyone wants. And the question is whether we can use it to get everything we want.
And the reason
that will be difficult, but it's not impossible.
How many Tory MPs do you think will vote against this?
Well, that's a very difficult question, and the arithmetic at the moment is looking challenging, but a lot can change over the next 2 weeks. But I think what all of my colleagues will be doing is thinking what is in the national interest, and they'll also be talking to their own constituents. And when I talk to my constituents, there's a lot of people. A friend of mine described them as Bobs, and that's not Roberts, that's people who are bored of Brexit. They want us to get on with it and deliver Brexit.
It's a useful phrase, I would say. Yeah.
There are also people who are not bored of Brexit, who are passionate about the details, who, like me, have run their own business. And what they say is, if you have a deal that gives you most of what you wanted, not all of it, you take it. And then you try at the next stage and negotiate the other bits that you couldn't get. And I think the thing people wouldn't forgive us for, if I could just make this point, Andrew, is if we got to the 30th of March next year and we hadn't left the EU, or we hadn't put ourselves on a course to end free movement of people, which is the thing that mattered to most people. And so that's the uncertainty that we'd be risking.
If Theresa May loses this absolutely crucial vote on which she has staked her entire premiership in the House of Commons, can she stay on as Prime Minister?
Well, absolutely she can.
Really?
And I don't think in a day when she is in Brussels battling for Britain with 27 other European leaders, we should be making her position weaker by speculating about her future. And I think people have underestimated her in the past a lot.
Keeping up the pressure on the government was the DUP leader, Arlene Foster. Foster made clear her displeasure at Theresa May's deal and suggested that the confidence and supply arrangement between the DUP and the Conservatives was on thin ice.
If you're unsuccessful, if Theresa May gets this withdrawal treaty through the House of Commons, what happens to your supply and confidence agreement that you've got with her?
Well, as far as I can see, there doesn't seem to be a great deal of enthusiasm in the House of Commons for this deal. In fact, quite the contrary. So let's wait until we get to that vote. I don't see any circumstances at present where that vote will be able to go ahead in Theresa May's favour. So then we will have to go back. And what we've been saying and what I said at my conference yesterday is, why waste time? Why not look for a better deal now instead of wasting time and having to do that after the vote is taken?
I guess what I'm trying to get to is your deal with Theresa May to support her government still live?
Oh, it is still live, but you should remember also that the deal was signed to deliver on Brexit and to do that in a way that had shared principles between the Democratic Unionist Party and the Conservative Party. But of course, the reality is there are many in the Conservative Party who don't like what's on the table today either.
And so at what point would it expire, that agreement?
Well, I think, and I've said this before, if it came to the situation that Parliament did decide, and there's no evidence that they're going to, but if they did decide to back this deal, then obviously we would have to review the confidence and supply agreement.
Can I ask, you say you'd have to review it, can I ask that if that happened, and who knows what's going to happen, the whips are working very hard, it's a very fluid situation, if she gets this through, do you end that agreement?
Well, I have just said we'll review the agreement at that point in time because, as you've just said, things are very fluid, things change. We have to see where we are when that vote is taken. I don't believe currently, given everything that is happening, that she will get support for that. I know she's going over the heads of people and she's doing that in Northern Ireland as well. But as far as I can see, in Parliament, she does not have support for this deal.
Former Prime Minister Tony Blair also joined Marr to discuss today's deal and reiterated his case for putting the deal to a second referendum. Marr challenged him as to whether this was really the best path to pursue.
The only way you're going to unite the country ultimately is to get this back to the people and say you've got a mandate whether the government does a proper Brexit, that's the sort of Brexit that Boris Johnson wants, or that we stay. And that is, you know, the only way of resolving this now, because I think her deal will fail, because in the end it will satisfy no one. It's actually only succeeded in uniting people in opposition to it.
So you want to take it back for another referendum. Can I put it to you, it's a bit like that glorious day for you in 1997. You've been elected Prime Minister, you're in your limousine, you're on your way to Downing Street, and the police knock on the door and say, I'm terribly sorry, we've had a discussion and we're going to rerun the election. You'd have been absolutely horrified and outraged. And that's what Brexit voters feel like when people suggest rerunning the referendum.
OK, but here's the other thing that Brexit voters feel, and it's a bit like me having come in as leader of the Labour Party and then suddenly decided I'd become a Conservative, right? The issue for the Brexit people is precisely the reason why we should go back and put it to the people for a final vote. Because the very people who agitated most strongly for Brexit are now saying, this isn't Brexit. And therefore, literally, why are we doing it? We're not doing it to satisfy them, and it obviously doesn't satisfy people like me. And the reason the government is in this position, it's really important we understand this. All the way through, the problem has been very simple. For 4.5 decades, Britain has been trading in Europe. You've grown up with these intricate supply chains for manufacturing industry. You've got a financial service sector that allows us to be outside the euro, but still the financial centre for the euro. You've got all sorts of things like cheap air travel, mobile telephony. All of these things have developed as part of Europe's single market. If you take the Brexit argument, they want to get out of all those rules. So your dilemma is this. You either get out of the single market, in which case you're going to do economic damage, at least in the short and medium term. That's the painful Brexit. But if you don't, and you do what Theresa May wants, which is stay tied to Europe's rules, this is what the Chequers document says, then you're in a pointless Brexit. So your choice is between painful and pointless. And that's the reason why we've had a problem all the way through.
Earlier, the Labour MP Lisa Nandy spoke to Sophie Ridge about Theresa May's deal. As the MP for Wigan, an area which voted heavily for Brexit, Nandy had been identified as a potential backer for the government's deal.
We've now got that endorsement from the EU leaders. Is the deal on the table something that you will be supporting?
Well, I'd hoped that it would be, but in all honesty, no, it's not. And it's inconceivable now that when this comes before Parliament in just a few days' time that I'll be voting for it. I won't be voting to support the withdrawal agreement. The problem isn't the withdrawal agreement itself. It's this 26-page political declaration that comes alongside it, which still, even just with a few days to go until this crunch vote, offers no guide as to what the future holds for the UK. The problem that's facing someone like me, sitting here in Wigan, is that I don't know at all from that 26-page declaration whether the future of the UK looks like one that is very closely allied to the EU, with all of the standards at work and protections that come with it, or whether we're going down a low-tax, low-wage economy that will remove all of those rights at work that my constituents rely on. Just down the road, I've got people who work in factories, on the railways and in the construction industry. And this is not an academic question for them. These are health and safety laws, for example, that have kept people alive at work in Wigan for decades because of those EU regulations that we ourselves have negotiated. And as a consequence, we've got a few days to go. We've got 26 pages of virtually nothing about what the future holds. There's been no attempt to reach out to Labour MPs like me. I haven't had a single phone call from the other side, as well as very little attempt to talk to the front bench or to the trade unions either. And it's just too bigger gamble for MPs like me to take with our constituents' futures.
And finally, as the ink began to dry on the UK's withdrawal agreement, the EU's president, Jean-Claude Juncker, expressed his deep regret that the two were poised to go their separate ways.
I am very sad today because seeing the United Kingdom, which is not something less than important, seeing the United Kingdom leave the European Union is a moment of sadness. It's not a moment of celebration. We have reached the best deal possible, and for the UK, and for the European Union, but I'm deeply sad. It's the wrong decision, the one which has been taken by the WGP. This is the best deal we could have achieved, but if I was a British citizen, I would be deeply sad when imagining the life of my grandchildren.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. For a limited time only, you can try a month of The Spectator in print and online for free. Just visit spectator.co.uk/trial. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/Evening Blend. Thanks for listening, and do join me again next week.